All right. Good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association. Sorry for the delay in getting us started today. Like I said, we had a couple calls back to back this morning. Want to thank our representatives from Iowa Total Care for joining us this morning, as well as would like to mention our sponsor for our MCO calls for 2022 is Right Dose Pharmacy. Right Dose has been a major player and a major partner with IHCA for several years, and so I want to thank them for their efforts in sponsoring our MCO calls for 2022. We'll flip into kind of how we've been typically handling these calls and then looking through some informational letters that have come out for providers. And so I wanted to talk about a few of those now. One that just recently came out, I think yesterday, is some revised guidance for CMP grants for in-person visitation aid during the COVID-19 public health emergency. This is informational letter 2321, and this just came out. So would encourage you to look to read that info letter and see if that's a program that you would again qualify for. I know we did one of these visitation aid CMP grants prior, but I think that is opening up again for providers to be able to apply again for some of those funds. We will be running a bulletin article on this today, so you'll receive that this afternoon through our bulletin, but that's one for in-person visitation aids due to COVID. So let me turn down my phone here. Another one that I wanted to mention that has come out since our last meeting is we've been talking about those HCBS ARPA recruitment and retention grants for waiver providers. Providers were able to submit grants up until the middle of February, I want to say, you basically turned in the number of employees that you had and the number of openings that you had to be able to receive grant funds. Initially, those funds were set to be received at the end of February, but an information letter came out at the end of February. I'm trying to find, IL-2319, which basically said they're still waiting for CMS approval on distribution of the funds. Once they receive that, they will then push those funds out to providers. And so that's just an update. If you had submitted that grant and you're still waiting on those funds, that is why. It's because the approval hasn't been received quite yet from CMS. Another one which came out, I think, just a couple days ago is in reference to skilled nursing facility providers in the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan. And so with the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan, those individuals in skilled nursing facilities have been eligible for 120 days of skilled services every year. And so what this change is doing for the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan is it's allowing for those individuals, if they are, what's the term for it? If they are medically exempt, they would then have access to routine or custodial facility care beyond the 120 days. They would need to be medically exempt for that to happen. And so, there is a process for becoming, for an individual in that classification, that Iowa Health and Wellness Plan classification, to become medically exempt. But it would open up a payer source for them beyond the skilled days. And I know that's one of the questions that we get at a somewhat frequent pace is, well, one, when they're coming in skilled, you do get your Medicaid reimbursement rate for that skilled care, typically, unless you've addressed or had a single case agreement with the MCO that is assigned to that individual at a different rate. But then this would provide a payer source beyond that at your Medicaid rate, just like it would for any other Medicaid or custodial facility Medicaid approved individual. So there's a lot of details in the informational letter. I would encourage you to look at that if you are looking and you have the staffing to be able to care for or take admissions. That's info letter 2318. So I would encourage you to look at that if you need some more details about the Iowa Health and Wellness Plan and some expansions to the benefits for some of those individuals as it relates to facility care. All right. And then I do know that there was one that just came out, I think this morning, actually. It's Iowa Medicaid Provider Quarterly Training on Program Integrity and Payment Error Rate. So I would encourage you, that's aisle 2322. There are some trainings going on beginning at the end of March that if you'd like to participate in those, I think there's four of them listed in the info letter. You only need to participate in one if you want to, but that's another opportunity for all of Medicaid providers to participate in that quarterly training from the Department of Human Services. Okay, that was several info letters. I don't think that I have any others that I want to specifically address, I suppose, over the call today. Jeannie, I'll ask you if you have any updates you'd like to make on behalf of Iowa Total Care, any comments or anything like that before we jump into the one question that I think we had assigned ahead of time for Iowa Total Care. So knowing that, anyone on the call, if you have questions, feel free to put those in the chat now because we will only have had one that was requested from providers ahead of time. So feel free to put those in. Otherwise, we can probably unmute yourself if you have a question you'd like to ask. But Jeannie, in the meantime, if you'd like to provide an update from Iowa Total Care, the floor is yours.
Of course. Hey, Brandon, before I get to the updates, I believe that we have one additional IL that we would like to bring forward. Hillary, you want to speak to that one?
Sure. It is the IL, I think it's 2313. Let me double check that I got the number right. Yes. So for those of you that do HCBS services, they put out specific guidance on the modifiers that are going to be allowed to be billed with those codes on the claims. I know a lot of times providers put informational modifiers and things on those claims, and those will no longer be allowed as of April 1st. So check out that IL letter if you bill HCBS services, because it will impact your claims if you use informational modifiers.
Thanks, Hillary. I did just put that in the chat as well for anyone who is wanting to take a look at that.
Thank you.
All right, cool. Thanks, Brennan. Thanks, Hillary. For the updates, we have one little update, a little teaser, if you will. As you know, spring is just around the corner, and we are having some exciting changes that are coming to our provider relations department. Iowa Total Care is looking forward to sharing our enhanced provider engagement model with all of you later in March and or early April. Through this new alignment, which will be by provider types and through engagement with other subject matter experts within our health plan, such as our claims team, the provider will experience greater satisfaction, education, training, and support. We will share our new service maps, contacts, and other important updates on the Iowa Total Care website and through our various association meetings. We are extremely anxious to begin our new in-person visits with you and look forward to providing updates over the coming weeks. So as soon as we have those materials available, Brandon, I will forward those to you. But yeah, we got some exciting changes coming to the Provider Relations Department.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Jeannie.
Of course.
So like I mentioned, we did have one question that was submitted ahead of time. And I know, Jeannie, I'm owing you some specific examples for this question here. But if Iowa Total Care could provide some comments or thoughts on this, we do have some and many home health providers who provide services twice a day, oftentimes getting somebody up and maybe putting someone back down for bed at night. They're authorized that way for multiple services. And oftentimes, at least in this provider's experience, they're paid properly with the multiples on the same day. But what's happening is when those claims end up being or going through an audit or a recoupment process is where it's not pulling in that the service was was actually done appropriately in the morning and in the evening, and denying one of those visits, saying that it's a duplicate, and just wanting to get the thoughts from you or Hillary as to why that may be, and maybe what we can do to ensure that the recoupment team or the audit team has the same shared facts that happens when the claim is paid on the initial run.
So Brandon, this is Hillary. Without those specific examples, I'll give kind of a general overview, and then if we get those later, we can of course respond. So I do know that there are often audit findings when those same day visits are billed on separate claims. So in order for it not to hit a duplicate edit in our system, if you put it on the same claim, then it should not hit that duplicate edit or get picked up in recoveries. I do know there was some errors in the past where same claim visits were being denied as duplicates. So if that's the case and you received a recovery letter, please dispute that so it will stop the recovery project from reprocessing your claims. But if you bill those on the same claim, you shouldn't have the problem with them denying as duplicate or going back and getting audited and recouped as a duplicate. And of course, if you're seeing any discrepancies in that and you received a letter, please follow the dispute process so that it'll stop that project and your claims don't get recouped before we can review them.
Thanks, Hillary. My assumption would be that most are submitting, if they're same day services, submitting those claims on the same form. And I could be completely wrong there, but do you see that often, to where two services provided on the same day would be submitted on different claims?
We see it relatively often. It's more common to put them on the same claim, but we have definitely seen quite a few claims where it's billed separately, and that automatically throws up a duplicate flag in our system, because it looks like the same code, same member, same day. I mean, it all looks the same to our system, so it ends up getting hit by a duplicate edit. But it's more common definitely to bill them on the same claim. So you're correct, Brandon. I just think there's a few providers that are billing separately on a separate claim.
Awesome. Thank you. We do have a question that came through the chat. So thanks, Cindy. They have a client who requires home health visits that are 2+ hours in duration. Is there a way to obtain an auth for the equivalent of 2 visits for these services? These visits actually cost us more money to provide, yet we don't want to deny referrals for these customers because they really need the assistance.
I think we may have to take this one back to the UM team and send you a response. I believe that they authorize a certain number of visits, but if they do say it's a 90-day auth and they authorize 90 visits, obviously that you would need additional visits. So let me take that back to UM and see if there's a way based on, medical documentation that they would allow you to have 2 visits for that 2+ hour visit. And then we can give you that feedback, Brandon.
Awesome. Yeah, I think that in this type of situation, obviously a visit is a visit. There's not really a time duration that's attached to that. And so there are obviously situations where you run into that visit ends up being a fairly long, in this case, over 2 hour visit. And so maybe for some advanced care needs, there could be some exceptions to that. So I appreciate the comments, Hillary, and look forward to hearing back from Iowa Total Care on that. Cindy, I would guess that it's probably a request that you could make if you're having a conversation with the UM team and providing the backup to be able to, justify the need for additional services or another visit or something like that. I think that it would be part of that UM request or a conversation with that a UM worker or maybe your provider experience individual. What do you think about that, Jeannie?
Yeah, I think actually the direct route to ask them that question, because I think what might be involved in this, Cindy and Brandon, is that they might have additional questions. They might want an example So Cindy, if you are open to contacting the UM department, you're probably, taking us out of the middle would be, we're happy to do it. But by doing that, then you can have that crucial conversation with them and have that dialogue as needed. So whichever way that you would like to do. So, okay, you're going to do that. Okay, I'm caught up with chat now. So good.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you.
All right, I will pause right now for... to see if any other questions will come in. Obviously, if you have a question that you're not wanting to type in the chat, or if it's maybe a lengthy question, if you'd like to unmute yourself, you could ask that at any time, and we could surely field it. I suppose just as like a follow-up to Cindy's question, obviously there are visits that are lengthy in time. There are also some that may be less lengthy in time. And so while the question can be asked, I think that there are some that obviously don't take very long to accomplish. So it could net out, I suppose, in reality, I guess. But I think the question is still worth definitely being asked. So,
and Brandon, just on that note, I have a meeting with UM later this afternoon, so I'll ask generally. But Cindy, if you could also follow up through the normal route directly with UM, that would be beneficial. And if we get some general guidance from them, then I'll share it back with you, Brandon.
Awesome. Thanks, Hillary. I'll pause again and see if we have any others that want to throw out a question for our representatives from Iowa Total Care. Jeannie, obviously. One of the managers with the provider experience team, Hillary, one of the managers within the claims team. So that's kind of your Iowa Total Care audience. If you're having any issues with either of or questions with either of those two departments, this would be a good time to ask them.
They're making it easy for Hillary and I today, apparently.
Hey, we'll take it, huh?
Exactly. No qualms there. I'm ready for green grass and easier time.
I guess one question I was wondering about, I know that there's the RFP is out for additional MCOs into the state, and is my understanding correct that that's not a process that Iowa Total Care needs to go through this round due to starting in 2019?
Yeah, we actually have a 5-year contract.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm not going to belabor it any longer. I appreciate, the couple questions that we did have. Oh, I might have just had one. This question that came directly to me, but was there talk of new provider relations information earlier on? Jeannie, were you talking about that? Or you'd mentioned something in your update. Would you mind maybe mentioning that again?
So we are in the process of doing new information, or we are kind of reestablishing our provider relations department. And we are really excited that we will share that information at the end of March, early April. We're going to have an enhanced provider engagement model. And it's a new alignment with all of our different areas, such as our claims, UM, and so on. And it will be structured around subject matter experts within our health plan. So, you will have less amount of individuals to work with. We're just say we're going from about 12 regions down to 5. And this will enhance your experience, the provider experience, and we're hoping greater satisfaction by working with selective individuals in terms of the specialties. So, and so as soon as we get our service maps, contacts, and other information, we're going to share that with the associations, and I will also share that with Brandon as well. So we're pretty excited to also re-engage in in-person visits and look forward to providing these updates over the next few weeks.
Awesome. Thanks, Jeannie. Yeah, I think the having individuals who may be more specialized to the type of provider may help with some of the any miscommunication that may occur that may, you know, between different types of providers. Everyone's kind of has a different experience and a different story and different ways that they're submitting claims and all that. So obviously, if there's someone who's more specialized in a specific area, that's may help with some of the quality of feedback that providers receive. So
absolutely. We're looking for the consistency there. And I'm sure Hillary can attest to this, that we have been working very differently in aligning both of our teams very closely related. Our teams work so close together, as you all well know, and having the subject matter experts on both sides will really be an attribute for our providers.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, with that, I will, you know, end this call early. Appreciate our representatives from Iowa TotalCare, Jeannie and Hillary, for joining us today. Also, shout out again to Right Dose Pharmacy for sponsoring our calls for 2022. So with that, we will end this call and start our Amerigroup call at 11:30. So thanks, everyone, for joining us, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you, Brandon.